So we're doing, continuing in this Machteres Sugya, specifically Machteres on Shabbos. And the Gemara showed that the Pasuk, which says, Ein lo damim, says plural. He doesn't have bloods. So it tells you both during the week and on Shabbos. So that's what we did yesterday. Is Shabbos is a separate Chiddush, because I would have thought that you don't do it on Shabbos, just like Bezdin doesn't kill on Shabbos. So damim teaches you even on Shabbos. Now, where it talks about a guy, let's say the father to the son, where you know the father is not coming to kill the son, so the Torah says, dumb him low. He has blood. In other words, you can't kill him. So again, it says plural. Dumb him, plural, bloods. So the question is, so what's that coming to teach us? So the Gemara says, that's also not during the weekend on Shabbos. So the question is, the Gemara asks, and I understand, thinking maybe you're not allowed to kill the Ein lo damim guy on Shabbos. But what are you going to say? I'm going to think that somehow if the father breaks in on Shabbos, then you're going to be able to kill the father? Like, what do you need to teach me? Once you teach me that you can't kill the father during the week, so of course you can't kill him on Shabbos. I mean, there's nothing additional to teach. So that's what the Gemara says. It says, Ela domim lo bevechol b'Shabbos hashu b'chol lokodin. You can't kill him during the week. B'Shabbos minbaya? You have to teach me you can't kill him on Shabbos? The opposite doesn't make any sense. But the Torah... So wrote dumb in plural, both by the Ein lo damim and by the Yesh lo damim. So how do you explain that? So Rav Sheish asks, this is the second wide line on Ayin Beis and Aveis. Lo nitzcha el lefakech alav esagal. Okay, this is only needed to teach you regarding, like digging up the guy who's under a pile of rubble. Okay. So the guy's on the pile of rubble, so say Rashi. Rashi says, okay, if when he was breaking in the house, nafal alav hagal, the pile of falls on him, mifankhim alav, then you could remove it from him, you could dig it up for him. That's assuming he didn't come to kill his father. But if he did come to kill, since you're allowed to kill the guy without even warning him, you just could kill him. So he's a gavra ketila. He's like a dead man the second he breaks in. And therefore, if he ends up under this pile of rubble, ends on the pile of rubble, so you can't save him because he's an Ein lo damim, he's a guy with dili. He can't violate Shabbos. He only violates Shabbos for a real, for pikuach nefesh, for a guy who really has dam. But for a guy who doesn't have dam, you can't violate Shabbos for that. Okay. So therefore, it's fine. So that's one. That's kind of making sense, right? That if a guy's Ein lo damim, then you could violate Shabbos. Then you can't violate Shabbos. But if he's a Yesh lo damim, you could violate Shabbos. Okay, so what's it teaching you? So what's it teaching you, damim, plural? Damim, plural, what's it teaching you? Right, if it would have said dam, then I would think what? So I guess, factually, I would think that you couldn't save him, right? So damim lo means even save him on Shabbos. Right? So is that good? Is that a problem? Does that help me to make sense? Does not make sense?
Right.
No, the problem is it doesn't make sense because if he's telling me he has dam and you're not allowed to kill him, right? You're not allowed to kill him because he's a father. You know he's not coming to kill, so he's just stealing. So he has dam. That's why he can't kill him. So now what? Now if a pile of rubble falls on him, I'm not going to save his life. He's a regular guy. So you need to teach me that on Shabbos I'm allowed to kill him. Isn't that a natural result of the fact that the guy has dam? The other guy is dumb means that you're not going to be able to kill him. You can't kill him, and so he's a full normal guy. Full normal guy, then even on Shabbos. You don't need a separate lima to teach me that I'm allowed to save him on Shabbos. Why would I think that? Right? Like, the problem is this is supposed to help somehow. Right? It doesn't really help. That's the problem. Okay. So the Rambam says like this. So we decided, maybe let's look in the Rambam, why not? It's Perek Tes, it's in there. What?
The same edition?
Yeah.
What page?
Oh, not the same edition, no.
Okay.
Hichel's Geneva. The Zikian Geneva, maybe it has it there. Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Gimel. So he says, Kol Ganav Sheyesh Lo Damim. Okay, any Ganav who has Damim, Im Nafal Alav Gal B'Shabbos, so if the pile of rubble falls on him on Shabbos, Mifachim Alav, so you can remove it from him. And if he breaks utensils, then he's chayev. Tas Yud Gimel 9:13. So if he breaks kelim, then he's chayev to pay, because since he's not chayev miso, so he's chayev to pay the money. Okay, fine, that makes sense. Aval misha in lo damim. Okay, but someone who doesn't have blood, so what should he say? What do you think he's going to say? Someone who doesn't have blood, you can't save him, and if he destroys the clay, right? Destroys the vessel, then he's going to be putter, right? She'in lo dam she'shavar kelim b'viyasel. And if someone doesn't have blood and he breaks kelim when he comes in, putter, he's exempt. He doesn't say anything about the digging him out. Doesn't say that you can't dig him out. Funny, huh? It's like it's an open mess. For some reason, like the Ram, it's like a parallel thing. Guy who is a yesh lo dam, there are two halachos. First of all, you dig him out. Second of all, if he breaks things, he's chayiv. And the guy who is an Elo Damim, only has one halacha. If he breaks things, he's potter. Oh, what about could you save him or could you not save him? Like, it's hard to know. I mean, it's not clear. Right? I mean, the Gemara doesn't openly say. The Gemara says the part that if the Yesh Lo Damim, if he has Damim, then you could save him. Then you could save him. Doesn't really say. I mean, It's difficult that the Rambam should tell you one way or another. That's the problem. Tell me one way, tell me another way. Don't just leave it hanging there. I mean, from the way he writes it, you think, you can't save him. Right? But, I don't know, it's somehow funny that he didn't mention it. Right? So, I don't know if that's that helpful. It's not totally obvious. And just say it. He says the other part. I mean, why did he just leave that out? It's like it's trying to save words here. I mean, he says it's just like an open problem. If he has damim, there are two halachas. If he doesn't have damim, then there's one halacha. And if you want to just leave out if he has in lo damim, don't say anything. You don't have to say it. But it seems like he wants to draw a contrast between the two. If he draw a contrast between the two, why did he leave out the second half? Right? Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. Now, so maybe you'll say, you could argue that he holds that if he's in Lodamim, you also could dig him out. Which is funny, still, he should say that. But Rashi doesn't know that, right? Rashi says that if he's in Lodamim, you can't dig him out. Ram, you don't know. Someone mentioned that. Someone noticed this, I forgot. I was looking at Mr. Kalin. Someone noticed that Ram kind of leaves that out. It's a problem. It doesn't take a very very hard diak in the Rambam to notice that he's, you have to look that carefully to notice that it's just missing. So let me read you Rambam. We have to get back to our problem in the Gemara, but while we're in the Rambam, so the Rambam says like this. This is in Tes Yud Aleph. So the Rambam already said in Yud, he says, if you know the guy's not going to kill you, like a father on the son, so then you can't kill him. Right? Then he has dama. And then Yud Aleph, he says, V'chein ganav shaganav v'yatsa. Let's say ganav, he breaks in, and then he leaves. Right? Let's say he's leaving. Could you kill him on his way out, when he's leaving? Right? Oh, shalo ganav u'matzo yotze min ha-machteras. Or he didn't steal, but you just find him, he broke in, tried to steal, wanted to steal something, but he just changed his mind, and he leaves. And you catch him while he's leaving, right? So is it still halacha still apply or not? So it says ha'al upana oref. Once he turns his neck, so to speak, he turns around, shows you his neck, his back. If he ain't a rodev and he's no longer a rodev because he turned around already, yesh lo damim. Then he has blood, okay? Because he's no longer going to kill. Or even if the witnesses surround him. So once there are witnesses surrounding him, so B'nai Adam, right, so now he's no longer going to kill, because if the witnesses around him, he's going to be killed and being witnessed, they're going to kill him. Right? Even though he's still inside the house, or the Rishos, property of the owner, ain't an Erag. He's not killed. Or if he comes to the Bezin, certainly if he comes to the Bezin, he's not killed. Right? If he's in Bezin, I guess because he's not still doing it. I don't know. Apparently there's additional, I don't know, something different about Bezin. Whatever. Bezin doesn't kill him. Yeah, he runs to Bezin, I'd say. So then you can no longer kill him. But he's saying, of course, if he runs to Bezin. But he doesn't run to Bezin once he turns his back. So I don't know. Whatever. There must be some additional point there. But so you see, though, once he turns around, basically, he's no longer machtaras, right? He's no longer machtaras. Why? Because the whole thing is machtaras because you think he's going to kill. So that's the status of an adam, is because he's going to kill. If you know he's not going to kill, like he's a father, then he's not a machtaras. So once he turns around, so now the Baal Bayis isn't going to, I mean, he's not confronting the Baal Bayis anymore. Baal Bayis is not taking anything. The whole reason why the Baal Bayis is going to stand up is because he's going to, you know, he's going to confront him. He's no longer a machtaras. Right? And he's no longer a machtaras, he's no longer a brother. He's not going to kill. Yeah. But what do you see, though? I mean, you know, this is an interesting Rambam in its own right, but I'm just trying to show you that, you see, if the guy's no longer a threat, right, he's not a machtaras anymore, right?
Right.
So therefore what? Yeah, it's hard to believe the guy under the pile of rocks is still a threat. Right? It seems to be, it would seem, you should argue, is that once the guy's under the pile of rocks, he's not a machteris anymore. And therefore, he's the Yesh L'damim. Right? No, when he's breaking in, he's Nehm L'damim. While he's chasing, while he's in the middle of the chase, he's Nehm L'damim. But the second the pile of rocks falls on him, he's going to ipso facto be an Nehm, be a Yesh L'damim.
I understand.
No, but that's one case. He's a Yesh L'damim. Or if a regular guy breaks in, but once he turns around, he becomes a Yesh L'damim. Rashi says he still don't. I understand Rashi says he still don't. But I'm saying the Rambam, maybe you could say the Rambam is holding that even if you're an Ein Lo Damim, if you're a regular guy in Ein Lo Damim, and the pile of rocks falls on you, so now you ipso facto become a Yesh Lo Damim. Right? And therefore, you'd be able to save the guy, right? So why doesn't the Rambam say, so why does the Rambam leave it out? Case doesn't exist. Exactly. See, he's not going to say an Ein Lo Damim, you dig him out. Because you don't dig out an Ein Lo Damim. If he really would somehow get under the pile of rocks and remain an Ein Lo Damim, then you wouldn't dig him out. The problem is that this, if he's an Ein Lo Damim, the second he gets under that pile of rocks, he's a Yesh Lo Damim. So we already told you. A Yesh Lo Damim, who the rocks fall on him, you save him. You save a Yesh Lo Damim when he's under the rocks. But it's because the Rambam earlier, once he's under the pile of rocks, he's a Yesh Lo Damim. So therefore, there is no case. So he doesn't want to say, Ein Lo Damim, you don't save him. But there's no case like that. You know, not save him either. So it's like he left it out. It's like it's the perfect thing to do, just to leave it out. Because there is no case. There's nothing to talk about. Ein Lo Damim can't be under a pile of rocks. There's simply no case. According to the Rambam, I mean, apparently Rashi holds, even though he's under a pile of rocks, he's still an Ein Lo Damim. Right? That's what Rashi's holding. He's a Gavra Ketila. Right? I mean, how could you explain? I mean, so Rashi's a little bit difficult, no? I mean, it's hard to say that guy's an Ein Lo Damim. Right? I mean, why is that guy an Ein Lo Damim? He's under a pile of rocks. I mean, what do you say? He's a Rodif? What does Rashi say? How does he say it? Yeah, Rashi says, "Avon balas can fashos, kibun nitin la'atzil lahargo la'asra." Since you could kill him without asra, gabra ketilahu mishas chatira. From the time of breaking in, he's a gabra ketila. Right? From the time of breaking in, he's a gabra ketila. What does he mean? From the time of breaking in until when? The rocks. It seems like it doesn't matter. I mean, it seems like, as he's saying, it's until he leaves. From the time, I mean, it can't be forever, but it seems to be, from the time he comes in until he leaves, it seems he's the Gavra Ketila. Whatever leaves him in, turns his back, runs away, whatever. But it seems like that's what Rashi's trying to address, is that he's the Gavra Ketila still, even after, even when he's under the rocks. From the time he comes in, he's a Gavra Katila. So what takes away his status as a Gavra Katila? What takes away his status according to Rashi? Conceptually, what takes it away? I mean, practically, yeah, I guess when he leaves, but what conceptually takes it away? Right. You're right, good. I want to say it's good. Is that if you, by breaking in, you render yourself a machtaras. Now, if you leave, you render yourself not a machtaras. You're leaving. So you're removing that status. But it's like the status is created from your breaking in, and until you leave, that's your status. Now, it's true, the rocks may have fallen on you, and now whatever, but you have a status of an Ein Lo Damim. The breaking in gives you a status of an Ein Lo Damim. And in order to break it, to break that status, you have to break it. You have to remove that status through undoing the break-in. The fact rocks fall on you, but that's a status. The status is on the person, and he has that status. It's not contingent upon the fact that he's still involved. There's still a danger. The danger created it. I mean, that's why Machteres has a status of Ein Lo Damim. But once he has that, once that's the case, the status of Ein Lo Damim sticks as long as he's still in the situation of the Machteres. The Ram apparently doesn't hold that. Right? Apparently the Ram holds. I mean, we're going to get to this. So we'll get this. I don't really get this too much into this. Because the Ram, there's a Raven on this. This is, but the Ram apparently holds is that once there's no danger anymore, the situation is, it would seem so. But I mean, as you're going to see, it's a little complicated with the Raven. But I'm just saying that's how Rashi seems to be learning. That's how he's learning. He's saying, in order to remove the status, you have to turn around. You have to break the status. You created the status, you have to take away the status. But otherwise, you're in Ein Lo Damim. Right? Ram holds it could be, I guess the question, it could be taken away from you, through some external event. Or since it's created by you, you have to remove it. You have to, become a non-machteras. Here, you're a machteras who's under the rocks. Your Gavra Katila is under the rocks, according to Rashi. Okay, fine. So, but this is all, well and good. But what about, now back to our main problem, right? Our main problem is, what about the guy who's the Yesh Lo Damim? So the guy who's the Yesh Lo Damim, of course I'm allowed to violate Shabbos to save his life, right? How could you argue, how could you think that I'm not allowed to kill him, but I can't violate Shabbos? So what do we have? We have an absolute contradiction, right? What's the contradiction? Let's just pinpoint exactly what the question is. So the contradiction is that you say, again, the Havmina. Let's assume the Havmina are correct. See, it's a real problem, because if you didn't have an extra limud, you'd say the Havmina. So it's not just like some crazy idea. I mean, if you didn't have a pasuk which came to teach you this thing, damim, if you just say no dam, you'd say the Havmina. So it must be the Havmina is more compelling. Like, intrinsically, that's all you'd posit. So let's take the Havmina and let's see why it doesn't make any sense. It seems like a contradiction. Because what would the Havmina be? Is that basically the guy is the Yesh Lo Damim. Which means that you cannot kill him. Okay? You can't kill him. Okay? You can't kill him. Why can't you kill him? Presumably because he's Yesh Lo Damim. Right? Yet, if he's under the pile of rubble, you don't save his life. Why not? Presumably because he's Ein Lo Damim. Right, or something, right? Why not? Right? So it's like at the same time you'd say that he's an Ein Lo Damim vis-a-vis saving his life. But vis-a-vis yet you don't kill him. You can't kill him. So how could that be? That's the problem, right? So that's a good, so just like a methodology. So just a methodology point. I think maybe this is what you're trying to get at, is that, see, you have to decide here. You have to make a decision. Okay? Is he a Yesh Lo Damim or is he an Ein Lo Damim? According to the Havmina. Okay? Because you have a contradiction. On the one hand, the fact that you can't kill him sounds to be he's a Yesh Lo Damim. On the other hand, the fact that you don't save his life seems like he's an Ein Lo Damim. Right? Like, is he a Gavra Katila or is he not a Gavra Katila? According to the Havmina. Right? Is he a Gavra Katila or is he not a Gavra Katila? If you want to say he is a Gavra Katila, so then you're going to have to explain, so why can't you kill him? And if you can say he's not a Gavra Katila, so then the question is, so why don't you save his life? But you're going to have to pick one of those. I mean, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. And given that you're going to have to make a decision, I would think you'd want to think which of those is easier to answer. Like, which of those is an easier problem to deal with? You'd rather posit that he's an Ein Lo Damim and explain why it is that you can't kill him, or would you rather say that he's a yesh lo damim and explain why it is that you don't save his life? Which one seems to be a more... there's two approaches. There's only two ways to go here, according to the Havmina. Why don't save him? Okay, so Matt's saying is that it seems hard to say, if you're going to tell me he's a yesh lo damim, right, and that's why I can't kill him. That's why I can't kill him, because he's a yesh lo damim, so he's a regular guy. So then why wouldn't I save him on Shabbos? I mean, he's a regular guy, he has damim, he's a regular Jew who just did a stealing, right? So a guy's under a pile of rubble, who said you have to save his life? Who said you don't see he's a sinner? So what? So if you say that he really is a yesh lo damim, right, it seems impossible to say that you're going to say that you're not going to save his life. The idea is pikuach nefesh, so he has a nefesh. So it seems like that's a hard route to go on. So what's the other route? But the other route also seems to go. The other route is that if you say he's an ein lo damim, right, so he's an ein lo damim. So I guess, first of all, why is he an ein lo damim? He's not going to kill. But even if he says an ein lo damim, so then why can't you kill him? If he's an ein lo damim. He's an ein lo damim, why don't you kill him? Right, so that's the methodology point here. So the methodology point here is when you have a contradiction, oftentimes you have to decide on one way or the other way. There's always like one of them, they imply different things. Now, it's usually going to be one of them is right, and the other one you have to explain away. You know, one of them, if they're fundamentally contradictory, so the fundamental assumption of one of them has to be true, and the other one has to be able to be explained away. That's the way it's going to have to work. I mean, in general. So it would seem to be, you want to say, I mean, you have to pick which way you want to go. Is choice A right and choice B is different? Or choice B is right and choice A is different? So you could evaluate, assess the strength of the two questions. And, instead of just thinking it's, gives you direction. Or even if you can't pick one, so at least you have two, you know there are two ways to go. So try to work on either one, see which one gets you somewhere. You know what I mean? So just like the question, formulating a more precise question. Like, if you want to say the guy's a yesh lo damim, so then why don't you save his life on Shabbos? That's like a very pointed question. Or if you want to say he's an ein lo damim, then why can't you save him? That's a pointed question. So instead of just saying, I have a contradiction, I don't know how to move, I'm setting up a very pointed question. Two pointed questions, and I have to choose one of them to answer. Yeah, I'll do it. Okay, so let me elaborate. Matt's saying good. Okay, I just want to elaborate. It's very good. It's based on the Grizz. I mean, it's really just coming right from the side of the Grizz set up. But he showed from the Rambam, if you remember, that there are two halachos of Ein Lo Damim. Ein Lo Damim in the Rambam meant two things. The very pasuk Ein Lo Damim, actually, the Rambam used to teach you both things. One thing Ein Lo Damim teaches you is that the guy who breaks into the house has the status of an Ein Lo Damim. His status is a Gavra Ketila. His halacha chal Hashem. Which means if you kill him, you're not. It's not halachically defined as ritzicha. And fine, that's the first thing. He's a status of Ein Lo Damim. But still, that doesn't mean you're allowed to kill him. You're still spilling blood. He's still a living, breathing tzamal agam. So it doesn't mean it's true. Halachically, it wouldn't be defined as ritzicha. The action wouldn't be defined as murder. But still, he's a human being, and you're spilling his blood. So Ein Lo Damim teaches you that everyone has rishus, has permission to kill him. It means in the framework of the spilling of blood, it's not, you're allowed. That's not spilling blood. Okay, but they're two different things, and both. Rama and they're both from Ein Lo Damim. Okay, that was in Halacha Zion. Okay, Bavachtas Bemim Lel Ein Lo Damim. Okay, Elam Hargo, Balabai, Sharam, Turm. He's in Ein Lo Damim. If anyone kills him, you're potter. Rishus Yesh Echal Adam Largo, Bemim Lechol Vim Shabbos, Bechol Mishchal Miso, and everyone has permission. Shnema Ein Lo Damim. This is Ein Lo Damim. So Ein Lo Damim is a reference to both of them. Both the fact that the Gavra's status is an Ein Lo Damim, and then that you have permission to act on that. And it's not spilling blood. It's not spilling blood. So maybe you'd say is like this, is that what happens by the father and the son? So you'd say is like this. Is that halachically, the Maisa of breaking in defines him as an Ein Lo Damim. His halachic status is an objective thing, and you can't go in objective halachic status. You don't go case by case and start saying, is this guy going to kill, is this guy not going to kill? It's an objective halachic phenomenon. You break in, you're defined as a machteris. Right when you break in. Breaking in defines you as a machteris, period. Okay, the status is an objective halachic status, and it doesn't, you'd say, halacha doesn't start drawing distinctions between the particulars of every single case. It's an objective thing. You break in, you're an ein lo damim. So therefore the father breaking in, he is an ein lo damim. Father is an ein lo damim. Okay, objaya, the status of the gavra. But im zarcha shemash lav damim lo, it says if you know that he's the father though, then it's saying is you don't have rishus. The rishus to kill him is because of the fact that you know it's necessary to save the victim. But since you know in this particular case that he's not going to kill him anyway, so then you'd be spilling blood if you just killed him. What are you doing? So it's true, halakhli is an adamim, but what are you doing? You're just trigger happy? Why are you killing the guy? You know he's not going to do anything. So therefore, you would have no rishus. If in Baruch HaShemesh, if it's clear to you, then you don't have rishus. In the framework of spilling blood, it makes sense that you can't just say halakhically across the board. Then it makes sense that you say that's what Torah is positing. That since there's not only a pure halachic status, but there's the spilling blood, human element to the crime. In that framework, your rishus is only if you know the guy's going to kill, or if you assume the guy's going to kill. But if you know for sure he's not going to kill, you don't have any rishus. So delmim lo would mean not that the guy is yesh lo damim. His status is an ein lo damim. It just means that this ein lo damim, you have no permission to kill. That's what damim lo means. He has life. It doesn't mean as a gavra he's a yesh lo damim. It would just mean that you can't kill him. Damim lo, don't kill him. Don't kill him. But his status is an ein lo damim. So since that is an ein lo damim, a pile of rocks fell on him. So then I would say is that you can't save him. Because objectively his status really is an ein lo damim. The fact that you can't kill him is not because he's a yesh lo damim, he's an ein lo damim. It's just that he's you don't have rishus. Because your shus is based upon the actual factual reality of him going to kill, and he's not going to kill. So that's what you think. So the pasuk comes and teaches you, no, damim lo means he has blood, plural. Means not only in the framework of spilling blood is it that he's a viable guy and you can't kill him, but even in his halachic chaloshem, his halachic status, he's defined as a yesh lo damim. This is the chiddush. Is that halachically within the institution of machteras, there's two kinds of machteras. There's machteras of yesh lo damim and machteras of ein lo damim. There are two profiles, you know? That within machteras itself, the Torah sets up a split between a yesh lo damim machteras and ein lo damim machteras. You would have thought in the halachic status of machteras that there's one halachic category. Machteras, machteras. No lines. The distinction comes in the framework of Rishus, which is the human framework of spilling blood. That's where the Torah is positing a split. Kamash Malan, Dam Mimlo, means in both frameworks. And even in the frame of the halachic, objective halachic framework of the status of an Eilu Damim, the Torah posits a split between a Yesh Ladam and Eilu Damim, between the two profiles of Machtaras. Profile for most people and the profile for the father. That's a Chiddush. And therefore, so if the pile of rocks falls on him, then you save him. Because now he's the Yesh Ladam. By the father, he's the Yesh Ladam. Pile of rocks fall on him, he's the Yesh Ladam. You'd have no right to posit that this distinction is in the halachic framework of Machteras without an extra limud. Because you just say, it's talking about Rishos, and it makes sense. It's a natural thing within Rishos. And Rishos, it doesn't go by the pure halachic categories. It goes by the human framework. The human framework is the reason to kill. It's like, you know, it would be like Yechal Achal Echameyavarov. That's how what's the name was arguing. The Grizz was saying by Yechal Echameyavarov. Even if you kill him by a lamb, so you'd say, yeah, but halachically, he's an Eilu Damim. Now, you don't have a shos to do that, because you could, that was how he was answering it. But that's the same kind of thing, is that halachic status is across the board. But in terms of Rishos, that's based on the factual reality he's going to kill. So if you'd say factually the father's not going to kill, so that makes sense, you're going to split it. But the Allah Chal Hashem, you'd say is across the board, period. So that's what it teaches you. Now, it's the Torah is creating a split even within the halachic shame of Machteras. That's a big Kiddush. And it's good. Damim is very good. It's plural. Damim means both frameworks of blood. Framework of blood and spilling of blood, and the framework of Damim vis-a-vis his halachic status. In both frameworks, he's defined as a guy with blood. Can't spill his blood, and his objective halachic status is he has blood. He's a yesh adam. It really comes from the Grizz. It's really based on that Grizz, the split up of the Grizz. I mean, if you remember the Grizz, it's really... He opened up that split between these two. He showed it right from the Rambam. I mean, it's open in the Rambam, these two categories. And he discovered that in the Rambam, but it's right there when you see it. I mean, he really drew it out. I mean, that's been very helpful for us. I mean, this whole framework, you know, the status of the Gavra and then the Rishas. Okay, so we're going to do next time is Vameis. It's on Ayimbeis Vameis. It's, I guess, the fifth wide line, the last word. Right? Because the Vehukah Vameis. We did the Vehukah, so we're skipping. We already did that. But Vameis is teaching you that you could kill him with any form of killing that you want. Okay? Don't think that you could only, I don't know what. Cut his head off. I don't know, whatever. I'm not sure what you think. But you have to look at Rashi. But it's teaching you that you're allowed to kill with any form of killing. And it gets into, in general, could you kill guys with any form of killing? Like a guy's Chayv Misa, there's a specified method of how you kill him. Do you have options, or is there only one way? So, Yitzhak will take that. Let me just see, there's some source here. 1 second. Okay, let's just start with Rashi. It could be there's a Tosus in Sanhedrin, Memehama Beis. But I'm not sure if I want to do it or not yet. So I'll try to send out an email if I want you guys to be fair. I have to go over. I have to go over my notes and see what we're going to do here. But Rashi for sure. Rashi on that Gemara. I'm not for Hukah. There's Rashi on, I think, on the next one, right? That one? Yeah, that one basically. And Shneksu Makachar maybe? I don't know. The Rashi on this Gemara. I mean, the Gemara goes until, where's the Gemara go? The Mace? It goes until Tan Rabbanan. Okay, till Tan Rabbanan should keep us busy for a day or so. Okay, so this is a different question. I guess for someone who's coming, this is pretty separate. If someone's coming, wants to jump in tomorrow, next time should be good. It's kind of a separate thing.